Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Years, we've been going to this same place with her parents and sharing a condo in New Smyrna Beach. Our boys have grown up at this place. They've been babies playing in the pool, and now they're grown up, and they come back, and it's just neat to experience all of that together. But when you go on a vacation, you are taking a time off, right? You're taking a break. You're taking a leave of absence from something. You're taking a recess. You're taking a furlough. Some people call it a sabbatical. There are lots of words that can be used in the place where you're taking a break from the normal and getting to something. Maybe it's abnormal, I don't know. Sometimes it's abnormal, sometimes it's just different. Away from routine, away from the rote, away from hopefully the stress. But sometimes we take the stress with us on vacation, hopefully work it out. But that's what vacation is for. For me, vacation is to just unwind a little bit. Now, I'm not a sit by the beach, sit by the pool kind of guy. I've got to be up doing something. Some of you guys are like that as well. When you go on vacation, you like to do things. My wife loves to sit and read. She reads. She takes about 5 or 6 books, and no lie, she reads all of them. She sits and sits and sits. And umbrella, rain or shine, she's at that umbrella, we did get some rain this year, which is my favorite thing, to watch the rain come off the ocean onto the beach and just walk in it every once in a while. It just kind of pours over me. But we all have our little things we do on vacation, don't we? We have the things that we don't get to do in the normal days of life, but we go and we do them on vacation. And sometimes vacation is the only time that we get to do that. You know, when we're with family, and sometimes it's eating. Like, we don't eat much seafood outside of vacation. Every once in a while, but on vacation, we gorge ourselves on crab legs and scallops and shrimp and you name it, seafood. I even had some raw oysters this year. And so some of you don't like them, I'm sure, but we do those things on vacation that we don't normally do. So we leave behind what we normally do on vacation. There's a danger in that, though. A danger in going on vacation. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. But there's a danger for some that is that when they take a vacation from the normal things, assuming that your normal things are filled with the things of God, we also take a break from those things. Some of us take a vacation from the Word of God. Some of us right now, sitting here right now, are on an extended vacation from the Word of God. I hope not. But I would tend to say that we have seasons where we're more in the Word of God and seasons where we're not. And I believe that it's okay to admit that. But when we admit it, there's something we have to do about it. Because when we take a vacation from the normal things of life, it doesn't mean that we take a vacation from God. Because God is a part of life. God, we don't have a work life. We don't have a school life. We don't have a home life. We don't have a church life. We have one life. And that life is guided by the Holy Spirit. He's not just here. He's also at your work because He's in you. So we have one life guided by the Holy Spirit. So when we take a vacation, we don't take a vacation from God. Matter of fact, it's an opportunity to connect even more with God. And that's kind of like how I like to see my vacation, because I take a couple books myself and I'm just looking for a word from God. I came back and someone said, "Oh, you're preaching today? Oh man, I'm sorry, you have to preach when you get back from vacation." I said, "No, I prepared my sermon before I went on vacation. I just waited for the illustrations for when I got on vacation." Because you know that you're going to have some stories. You know that you're going to have some things that you're reminded of. So today, excuse me, so today it's called WIT, whatever it takes. Today's the sermon, whatever it takes. So whenever I say WIT, you're going to say, you guys learn so quickly. WIT. That's right. That's what I want. That's your participating today, whatever it takes. Now I want to show you something that did happen on vacation. I want to show you this picture up here. Deidre, would you put that up there? There you go. Crab. There's a crab. Austin thought it was a spider, and he hates spiders. But that's a crab. But I want to tell you a little story about this crab. One of our traditions on vacation is go crab hunting at night. We go out on the beach, the boys, the buckets, the nets, and we just go. And it's when they were little, they used to scream and run because the crabs would change direction on a dive and come right at them, and they would just run. And so it was fun. We always catch crabs, and then we throw them back. We just throw them back and watch them scatter. But this crab is a different crab. Most crabs don't come out until the evening, when everybody's off the beach. And so they can go get a drink of water, or they come out, they think it's safe. Well, this crab was out in the middle of the day, and he was going back. He was caught between the water and the sand, the soft sand. So he was going back and forth, and people walking around, and he didn't know which way to go. So we spotted him, and we get up to him, and he's about 6 inches, 7 inches across. But most crabs, they run. Well, we weren't going to let this crab run away. He was out at an unusual time, so we thought we were going to have a little fun with the crab, me and Garrett, and we were there. And Garrett actually took this picture for me. But this crab, most of them will run, or they're crouched down, and they'll try to hide themselves in the sand like, you can't see me. Well, I can see you. But this crab was different. He was out in the middle of the day for a reason. He was going to have his way, and nobody was going to stop him. But when I tried to stop him, this crab, he bowed up on me. And they don't normally bow up on you. But he faced me, his big old eyes looked at me, and his claws were up. And he was ready for whatever I had. This man that's 100 times bigger than he is, he didn't care. He was going to do whatever it took to get whatever he wanted. And he was ready to battle me. And that was unusual. And I thought, man, this crab is going to do whatever it takes. Now, of course, he would lose. All I had to do was step on him. But I just went ahead and let him do what he needed to do. I was reminded of another story while I was on vacation. And this was years ago. We were sitting on the patio overlooking the pool. And my in-laws reminded me of a time when Garrett was little. And they have this fence around the pool. And maybe where you go, they have a pool like that. Or maybe your subdivision pool. It's a fence that is tall, but the gate has that thing on top that you lift up and that you have to pull out. Well, Garrett, when he was little, he was headed to the pool. We're going to the pool. He's headed to the pool, and he wasn't going to let anything stop him from getting to the pool. And this thing is twice the size of Garrett to get to that little thing. So Garrett decides that he's not going to let that get in his way. So he starts climbing up the fence, and he gets up there and he holds onto that thing and pulls it up and pulls it open with his foot, and then he jumps back down and he's in the pool. Garrett was going to do whatever it took to get in the pool. Do you have things in your life that are like that? That you have done whatever it took to get there? Have you been detoured along the way and you let hurdles and obstacles stop you from getting there? Today is about WIT. Okay, almost all of you got it. Next time you'll remember. And there's a reason that I want to talk about whatever it takes today, because our spiritual life, church, is important. For the fountain to be a healthy church, the individual members of the body of Christ have to be pursuing healthy spiritual growth. And when we put all that together in the body, and every member is important, and every member has to be attentive to that, we become a healthy church. The fountain will be a healthy church. Now, there's another instance in Scripture that I want to bring your attention to in Mark 2. And I want to read this to you. It's going to be on the screen. You'll know this story as we start. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Here was a man paralyzed and four friends who cared about him. And they had a WIT, attitude. They were going to get to Jesus no matter what. They were going to get their friend to Jesus no matter what. Now correlate that to yourself and your own spiritual walk. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get your life aligned with what Jesus has asked you to be aligned with? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to do what God has called you to do? You know, sometimes those things come out of our time with God. And if we take a vacation from the Word, if we take a vacation from our spiritual growth, we miss those things that God is calling us to do. There is no vacation. Actually, the Word of God is fresh and new every day, and when we approach it that way. So it's new. It is a vacation in some ways because God has given us something new and something fresh, something to rest in, something to think about, something to ponder. Every day that we can be in it. How concerned are you about the health and care of your inmost being, is what Scripture calls it. That which is situated the farthest within you. Your most intimate, your most secret place inside of you. Jesus spoke specifically about the body being made up of many members, and each member is important. Each member has a special gift, a special part, and they complete the body when they're part of it. They have an important function of the body, his bride, his church. So, have you heard this? So goes the part, so goes the body. Well, that's true in some instances, not always. But in the physical part, for me right now, it's true. Because my normal routine before five, six months ago was to go to Mulberry and walk, run 3 days a week. And then I had this app where I was doing some workout, some aerobic workout to keep myself in shape. And so, but then all of a sudden my knees started hurting. And I went to check it out, and the doctor said, "You have a tear in your meniscus in your left knee." But that tear in my meniscus kept me at that point. I tried to push through, but my knee would swell in the back, and it would just be pain for the next couple of days. And it's hindered me from doing what I wanted to do physically. So therefore, I need to think about that physical part of my body that is keeping the rest of my body from doing what I really want it to do. It's hindering. That one part is hindering the rest of this. So I've got to do something about it. So I have to think about, okay, therapy, I have to think about surgery. Well, we're going to have surgery in August on my knee. Walking's not a problem, but anything above that is a problem. So I've got to think, this one part of my body, it's unhealthy. It's torn, it's broken, it's wounded. And I've got to bring it back. I've got to somehow bring it back to full capacity so that it can start operating with the rest of the body and the body can work together and move forward like it's planned. That's no different than our spiritual life. Body of Christ, you have a responsibility for health in your life. You have a responsibility to walk in that, to posture yourself for that, to put yourself in position. Don't take a vacation from it. God is always wanting to grow us. Did you know that what you're doing right now is not what you'll be doing a little bit later on? God is always preparing you for the next step in your maturity. He's got something for you. And if we take a break from that part of the body, which we need to make the church healthy, if you take a break, then the whole body suffers. And for us to be a healthy body doing what God's called us to do, we all have to be on board. We all have to, and one of the, I'll tell you, one of the hurdles right now for some of you sitting here, if you're willing to admit it, is the merge. You're having a hard time. It's all great. We get together, we worship, it's great. Sunday is awesome. It's Monday through Saturday. It's hard, isn't it? It is. It's very hard. But God has called us. And sometimes we allow our own desires and our own feelings to lead us away from what God has called us. I do it all the time. God, I know that's just what you want me to do, but God, I really don't feel like doing it today. You ever said that to yourself or acted that way? I believe if you were being honest, you would say that. But we all have to stay the course. And if we're working on our health, what God wants us to do, then I promise you, whatever He calls us to do, we'll be able to do for His glory. But He did say something. It's very harsh. It's very kind of last resort, if you will. And these scriptures aren't on there, but in the book of Matthew, Jesus spoke a couple harsh things to people who were part of the body. And He used the physical parts, and you'll remember this too. In Matthew 5, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, what does He say? Close it? No. He says, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for the whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. Throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for the whole body to go to hell. And He repeats some of this in Matthew 18. He says, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Wow, that's harsh. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off, throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and to be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, there he goes again, gouge it out, throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown in the fire of hell. Come on, Jesus. Really? There's a powerful point behind this, church, for the church. There's church discipline within this when you think of the body of Christ. And when we think of church discipline, we think, oh, how can we be that harsh to somebody? But Scripture is clear about those who cause unrest or cause faction or cause divisiveness, and they won't submit to discipline or church authority or the way the Word says, then they're asked, there's church discipline involved. God has no qualms about offering this. Jesus has no qualms about saying these things because the body has to be healthy to do what God has called us to do. And we're accountable to each other, church. There is not Trinity and there is not Impact anymore. It's the fountain. So we're accountable to each other. We're all brothers and sisters under one name in the body of Christ, the Fountain Church. I'm accountable to Bill, and Bill's accountable to me. We're brothers in this. And not just us, together. So it's okay to sit down and have conversations, because that's healthy. It's okay to share our heart, but it's not okay to say, this is how I feel, and it's got to be this way or no way. That's not okay. And I don't mind saying this, and you don't have to like me because I say this, but somewhere along the line, Satan has got a grip on you. If that's our feeling, if that's our attitude. But the church has to be healthy, and that's what we have to be. We have to be WIT. Oh, that was a weak one after that. We have to be WIT. Whatever it takes. I'm sharing this with you because, as hard as it might be, this is the way to grow in your Christian life, whatever it takes. It is only when we fully open ourselves up to God that He can show us our problems, things we often are blind to. And it is only when we become aware of these things that we can begin to receive help to overcome them. And remember, God already knows what Scripture says, our grievous ways. And probably a lot of other people do as well. So instead of living in denial or being defensive, ask God for help. Don't run away from God with your struggles. Run to God with your struggles. And I encourage you to pray this. I want you to go in Psalm 139, we can put that scripture up there, Psalm 139. And this is what I'm talking about. It says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a prayer. This is a prayer that David said, one of many prayers that David had, that David included God in and said, God, this is what I want from you. Because I know that I need to be in your will. I need to be doing it. And yes, God, I have failed. And he puts all his dirty laundry out there in Scripture. But he says this, search me, God. He still wants God to search him. Even though he's been punished, even though he's been disciplined, he says, God, search me and see, because I want to be pure and blameless and holy before you, God, because that's what you want for me. So search me. I allow you, God, to search me and test me and see if there is any offensive way in me. You see, God has ordered David's footsteps already. Before he even became king, he ordained him and anointed him king when he was a teenager. And that was years before he actually assumed the throne. God had already ordained and ordered his steps. God has already ordained and ordered your steps, church, members of the body. We just have to walk in them. David prayed a prayer and he asked God to search him. And he prayed for three things. He prayed, God, look at my inner person. God, look inside me. And he said, find anything that would cause you or others pain and show me these things. He said, don't just look at them, God, but let me know. God, I want to know where my grievous ways are. I want to know what's causing you pain. I want to know in my life what I'm doing to cause other people pain. Tell me, God. David is praying, God, for look at me and look at anything that is outside your will. Are there any sinful thoughts? Are there any sinful intentions? Is there any brokenness or failings that cause you pain, God? Are there sinful thoughts, intentions, brokenness or failings that offend others, God? Show those to me as well. And then he says, lead me in the path of righteousness. He said, lead me in the way everlasting. Help me, God, to overcome. And not just to overcome, God, forgive me. But you know, there's two parts to forgiveness. God, forgive me and go make right. If I've offended you, I can ask God for forgiveness and he will forgive me. But then he asked me, go to who I've offended and make reconciliation. Make one again. That's health. That's spiritual growth. That's looking at myself and saying, where do I need to grow? God, show me. He'll show you. Now it's up to you to do it. And when we do that individually and together, we become the church that God is calling us to be. I say this because if you understand this prayer, it takes courage to pray it. It takes courage because you are inviting God to show you your sins, your weaknesses, your defects. And that is not easy to ask for. Usually we want to hear the good stuff, don't we? Oh, tell me how good I am. Tell me how wonderful I am. Tell me how much you like me because of me. That's what we want to hear, right? We want the accolades. We want the pat on the backs, the attaboy, that a girl. We want to know those things, but we shy away and we run the other way when we actually hear about the things that we need to work on to make us healthy. But we need those things. If you're serious about following Jesus, you won't run from those things. You'll embrace them. God, I know I've been battling this for a long time, God. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding me. Now help me, because I don't have the strength. Help me take the steps towards healing, towards reconciliations, to wholeness. It's putting yourself out there and a gracious and a merciful and a compassionate and a gentle God will help you. But not only this, it takes courage to pray this prayer because you are inviting God to correct them. You're saying, God, show me and I'll walk in it. If it's correction that I need, God, then allow me to walk in that correction. Nobody likes to be corrected, do they? You don't like to be told that you're doing it the wrong way or stop doing that. It can be very hard. But W-I-T.
Whatever it takes.
That's right. Whatever it takes is what we commit to. I'm sharing this with you because, as hard as it might be, this is the way we grow in our Christian life. It's only when we open ourselves fully to God that He can show us those problems, things that we're blind to. And remember, God already knows it. I've told you that. I encourage you to pray this and to continue to pray it. And then listen to what God has to say. And then have the faith to allow God to lead you in the way of everlasting. There's a very profound saying that is going to blow you away. It's going to be the most memorable thing that you hear all year. Are you ready? Has everybody got their pencils? You ready to write it down? Here it is. Wherever you are, there you are. Wherever you are right now, that is your condition. When you pray the prayer to God, search me, He wants to take you a different place. Because we all have these things inside of us that are keeping us from walking in wholeness and health. Yeah, you can stay wherever you are. You can not ask God. And you can stay exactly where you are. And you won't be growing. You say, well, no, I'm just kind of plateauing. I'm just going to stay in one place here right now. I'm not growing, but I'm not going backwards either. Wrong. There is no standing still. If you're not growing, you are going backwards, because God's plan for us is to grow and to mature. There's no vacation from that. Psalm 26:2 repeats a similar saying, test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Jeremiah 12:3 says, yet you know me, Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Get that picture? These thoughts, these things inside of us, He says, drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Get rid of them. Cut them out of my life. Prune them away, God, because they're hindering my growth. They're keeping me from being who you've called me to be. And God, I want to give them up, but I keep picking them back up. I need your help. And guess what? God will send you somebody. But will you deny them the accountability? God will send somebody to you if you pray that. But will you say, who do you think you are telling me that? I've asked God for it. He's supposed to tell me, not you. Guess what? God just sent you somebody, or Jesus with skin on, to help you walk through that change. I've kept this illustration for a lot of years, and maybe some of you have heard it. But this illustration is called the Keeper of the Spring. And I want to, let me take a drink of water, and then I want to read this illustration to you. The Keeper of the Spring was a quiet forest dweller who lived high above the Austrian village along the eastern slopes of the Alps. The old gentleman had been hired many years ago by a young town council to clear away the debris from the pools of water up in the mountain crevices that fed the lovely spring flowing through their town. With faithful, silent regularity, he patrolled the hills, removed the leaves, removed the branches, and wiped away the silt that would otherwise choke and contaminate the fresh flow of water. By and by, the village became a popular attraction for vacationers. Graceful swans floated along the crystal clear spring. The mill wheels of their various busyness located near the water turned day and night. Farmlands were naturally irrigated, and the view from restaurants was picturesque beyond description. Years passed. One evening, the town council met for its semi-annual meeting. As they reviewed the budget, one man's eye caught the salary figure being paid to the obscure keeper of the spring. Said the keeper of the purse, who is this old man? Why do we keep him on year after year? No one ever sees him. For all we know, the strange ranger of the hills is doing us no good. He isn't necessary any longer. And by unanimous vote, they dispensed with the old man's services. For several weeks, nothing changed. By early autumn, the trees began to shed their leaves. Small branches snapped off and fell into the pools, hindering the rushing flow of sparkling water. One afternoon, someone noticed a slight yellowish-brown tint in the spring. A couple days later, the water was much darker. Within another week, a slimy film covered sections of the water along the banks, and a foul odor was soon detected. The mill wheels moved slower. Some finally ground to a halt. Swans left, as did the tourists. Clammy fingers of disease and sickness reached deeply into the village. Quickly, the embarrassed council called a special meeting. Realizing their gross error in judgment, they hired back the old keeper of the spring, and within a few weeks, the variable river of life began to clear up. The wheels started to turn, and new life returned to the hamlet in the Alps once again. Church, my desire, and Pastor Bill's desire, Pastor Aaron's desire, and everybody in leadership's desire is for the Fountain Church to be a healthy church. This profound story means more to me than any other as I consider the rhythms of my own disciplines in being in a place of health spiritually. Each new day, I have to rehire the keeper of the spring and say, and that's the Spirit, and say, what is it in me that's keeping the waters, the pure, the holy waters from flowing through me? That I, what I get, I can give to others as well, as beautiful, as holy, and as of God. I invite the keeper of the spring to my inner soul to say, search me and to know me and tell me. Invite him to clear away the debris that settles in me, the bad attitude, the wrong desires. Do you have any of those flowing in you right now? Those things that you need to ask the keeper of the spring to search and say, please help me recognize and please help me clear it away. Each member of a spiritually healthy church must understand the value of a vital walk with Christ, be taught how to foster a personal devotional life, and urge one another on to growth. Urge one another on to growth in the area of our spiritual journey. If we're not moving forward, we are moving backwards. There's no middle ground for the follower of Christ. And that equals dying. Mark Batterson says in his book, Chase the Lion, we don't die when our hearts stop beating. We die when our hearts stop skipping a beat in pursuit of our passions. When our hearts stop breaking for the things that break the heart of God. That's when we start dying. And as far as I can tell, when our leaders came together, this is what was about what God wanted us to do. We could have stayed two churches and just did what we were doing. We saw a greater purpose, a greater vision, and we prayed and we fasted, and God brought us together. So this is what God has ordained. We believe that with all our heart. So whatever it takes, member of the body, member of the body, member of the body, for you to fall in line with what God has called you to walk in so you'll be spiritually healthy, you must do that. Because when one member of the body is hurting or is out of line, it affects the whole body. And we need to do our best to encourage each other in love, to grow, and to serve God how he's called us to serve him. So how will we measure success? It's not winning or losing. It's obeying. That's how we measure success. It's honoring God whether we are in the red or whether we're in the black. It's giving God the glory whether we are in the win column or we're in the loss column. In God's book of success, it's spelled stewardship. What are we doing with what God's given us for his glory? That's stewardship. That means this building. That means the money. That means the ministry. That means the people. We are called to steward, and that's God's way of success. It's making the most of the time, talent, and treasure God has given you. It's doing the best you can with what you have where you are. God doesn't always call us to win. Sometimes He calls us to try and let the rest be up to Him. Either way, it's obedience that will glorify Him. He will be pleased with the Fountain Church if we walk in that obedience. W.I.T. W.I.T. R.T. Kendall said this: sometimes the greatest opposition to what God wants to do next comes from those who are on the cutting edge of what God did last. Are you getting in the way? Are you holding on to things of glory days that God did last that is keeping us from doing what God has on the precipice for us? We've got to all be willing to let it go, because God saw some great plans. It's up to Him for the results, not us. We're just called to walk in obedience. Church, we can't get in the way of what God is ready to do next. Our WIT attitude coupled with excellence honors God. So we need to get better and better at whatever He's called us to do. Is it hard sometimes? Yes. Is it frustrating sometimes? Yes. Is it stressful sometimes? Absolutely. Every day is a new day to seek a fresh anointing from God. Every day. The trail is hard, but the journey is worth it. And that's what we're called to do, is walk the journey. Obey and walk the journey. As we close the service today, I'm going to invite Austin to come back up. And we're going to close without any kind of dismissal, per se. But there's a video that I want you to see, but I want to pray before the video comes up. And after the video, then I invite you, at your time, no one's going to cue you, but the end of the video might be your cue, to get up, and there's communion, and bring your offerings and your tithes to the table. These are the things God calls us to be disciplined in. The sacrament, which we remember as believers, is what Jesus did for us. He died on the cross for us to do what we're doing right now. And He calls us to give of ourselves, of what He's blessed us with, that portion which God will use in the ministries He's called us to do here at the Fountain. But I want you to take some time after you watch this video on Psalm 139. And if you need prayer, I'm going to ask Pastor Bill to be up here. I'm going to be up here. Tim's right here. Raise your hand, Tim. Is Miss Janie in here? Miss Janie's standing back there. If you feel more comfortable, if you're a woman, you want a woman to pray over you, that's fully understandable. Miss Janie will be back there and she will pray with you. Or if anybody else wants to make themselves available to pray over somebody and you need prayer, maybe it's for salvation today, because you want the spring inside of here to be filled with flowing, pure water. And that's what Jesus died for. But you can only have that with Jesus. So that's going to be a part of this too. And then Austin's going to be singing a song through this whole moment. And when you're done, if you're done with communion, if you're done in here, you just walk out. If you're finished, if you want to hang around a little longer and pray or be prayed for, then you just hang out a little longer. But it's a WIT. It's whatever it takes, church. Whatever we need to do to walk in all that God has for us. Let's do it. And let's start here by asking God to search us. And let us know if there's any offensive way that's keeping me from being the member of the body that You've called me to be. Because when I'm not effective, when I'm wounded, when I'm hurt, when I'm not doing what God wants me to do, it affects the whole body. So that's what your takeaway is today, whatever it takes. Let me pray, and then they're going to show this video. Father God, I love You so much. And I thank You, as hard as it is sometimes, for the reminders of when I get off track. And I so want to be on track, but I also so want to go off and do my own thing. And that's the part of me that isn't in line with You, God, because I've given my life to You. It doesn't belong to me anymore. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit reminds me of that. I belong to You, God. And it's whatever You want. And as much as we try, God, it's almost impossible to take out the human aspect of it. So I'm thankful for accountability. I'm thankful for your word. But Father, for me to walk in that health, I need to know it. It needs to be in my mind. It needs to be in my heart. It needs to be in my actions. It needs to be spilling from my mouth. Your word is powerful. It changes. It heals. It resurrects. It reconciles. It makes whole. It rebukes. It corrects. It's a double-edged sword. And God, we welcome it. It's what we live by. It's what we sustain by. Thank you, Jesus, for dying. You were the Word that became flesh. And you walked among us. And you left this movement, this idea, this cause, this Word with faithful men and women who have carried it on. And now we are part of that. We are your disciples. Help us when we are weak. Show us when we need your strength. And let all the glory be to you. Father, search us. Know us. Show us if there's any offensive way. Test our thoughts, our anxious thoughts. And then lead us in the way everlasting. Help us to throw off those hurdles that entangle us, that keep us from being the part of the body, the healthy part of the body that you've called us to be, so that your church can function as you've called it to function. We are yours. God, I pray your blessing upon each person here, each member of the body here. God, that they would be honest with themselves. They would be transparent with you and genuine. You already know. May we be able to speak it before you now. Bless this communion, God, to your glory, as we remember what Jesus, your Son, did for us. He gave his life up so that we could walk in health. And God, bless the gifts that everyone will bring today. Those who are committed to being healthy and having a healthy church and committed to your way. Bless those tithes and those offerings, God, to your glory. And Father, bless the heart that reaches out to you today in honesty and transparency, and cover them and anoint them and bring healing to them. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.